Good morning. It is Tuesday, July the 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It's Tuesday, friends. Do I need to tell you what that means? Yes. Tacos. It's Taco Tuesday. And so we're going to be on the hunt today. I'm going to be wearing my taco socks sent to me from dear Wake Up Call readers. But like every day, it's a day to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord, to lay our lives before Him. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled On Google Earthing Your Life. Our text is Acts chapter 25, verses 6 through 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. After spending 8 or 10 days with them, Festus went down to Caesarea. The next day he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him. When Paul came in, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him. They brought many serious charges against him, but they could not prove them. Then Paul made his defense. I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law, or against the temple, or against Caesar. Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges?" Paul answered, "I am now standing before Caesar's court, where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar." After Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. The other day I checked something online I hadn't checked in a while. At least I hadn't done it since I moved to Gillette, Arkansas. I Google Earthed myself. As soon as I saw my location via the GPS dot, I began zooming down. I went down far enough to see that church garden behind my fence held a crop of winter greens. After looking around my backyard and a few of the neighbors, I began zooming back up. I've lived here for 1 year now, so I wanted to see where I was with respect to the rest of the city of Gillette, then Arkansas County, then Pendleton, my mom and dad's home, about 10 miles away, then Dumas in Deschutes County, that's my hometown. Then I decided to zoom back out and trace the steps of my journey over the past 30 years in a kind of there and back again path. That meant going to Kentucky, and then to Texas, back to Kentucky, and then to Tennessee, and then to Texas again, and back to Arkansas. Yep, with Google Earth, you can take a trip and never leave the farm. All that zooming in and zooming out, it gave me enormous perspective. I also find this practice to be essential on a regular basis when reading the Bible. I call it zooming out. Were we to zoom out on today's text, we would first locate ourselves at Caesarea on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Zooming out a bit, we would see Jerusalem to the northeast. Further out, we would see Turkey to our north and Athens to our west. Further still, we would see Rome, the place where Paul will soon be headed. The physical geography alone is fascinating. Then there's the geography of the will of God, the cartography of the Holy Spirit, if you will. Just as zooming out on a physical geography gives us perspective, so does zooming out on our present set of circumstances and challenges. As we zoom out on Paul, we see his life completely out of control. He is caught in the swirling chaos between the courts of the Sanhedrin and the courts of Caesar. Paul seems to be sidelined, riddled with problems, and surrounded by enemies. He's completely stuck. Here's the surprise. Despite his challenges and desperate circumstance, Paul remains in the center of the will of God. The Holy Spirit is working out the movement of the gospel and not wasting a millisecond of Paul's time. Jesus, who called Paul, was not caught off guard by these kangaroo court proceedings. Jesus was not sitting at the right hand of the Father, wringing his hands and scratching his head, wondering what to do next. No, he was working out the will of God right in the middle of Paul's disastrous dilemma. Christian, I want you to remember that. No matter how desperate or dire the situation you find yourself in, look to Jesus. Call out to the Holy Spirit and rest in the refuge of Abba Father. No matter how conflicted and chaotic your circumstances, do not be anxious. Wait on Him. Rest assured. He sees you. He knows your apparently unsolvable problem, and He is committed to working mercifully in the midst of it. Not from a distance, but by your side. He is bringing it and you to a good end. Be it a badly broken marriage, a wayward son or daughter, or worse, their untimely death, the endless labor of caring for a spouse or parent with some form of dementia or memory loss, the loss of a job, the ordeal of cancer, or the otherwise collapse of best laid plans, we must take the time to zoom out. In the midst of the hardships and trouble and chaos of life, it's easy to start thinking we've stepped outside of the will of God, or we've been sidelined, or we've done something to deserve or merit the problems before us. On the other hand, it's easy to push the button and just claim the randomness and meaninglessness of it all. The way of the cross calls us to interpret our difficulties and sufferings as perhaps one of the most confirming signs that we are in the center of God's will. Most of the time, it takes regularly zooming out to see it. Of three things, I have become brazenly certain. Number one, in this world, we will have trouble. See John 16:33. Number two, we can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. And number three, the way forward is made by the perseverance of the Holy Spirit to manifest the suffering love of Jesus to us and in us and through us. See Colossians 1:24. The hard thing about these seasons is how they want to bully us into a spirit of resignation. There's a counterintuitive move we must make in the face of this. Relinquishment. The more we fight resignation, the more it grips us. We must surrender ourselves and our struggles to Jesus again and again until we've finally done it. This is the way of the cross. That's our Google Earth. The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And I know, Jesus, that I'm not becoming more like you by trying harder and harder to do more and more, to behave, to change myself. No, I'm becoming like you as I'm trusting you more and more. Indeed, abandoning my life to you, just as you on the cross abandoned your life to me, to us. And so to that end, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness, my self-interestedness. And Jesus, I receive your point of view, your large, expansive, gracious point of view. And I release my very limited perspective on things. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that I might become the love of God for others, that my consecration would become your demonstration, that our lives would become your sanctuary, for the glory of God our Father. Amen. Our journal prompts. So are you personally encouraged today by this wake-up call? Do you know someone who needs this kind of encouragement today? I encourage you to send this on with your love to them and invite a conversation as a follow-up. Today, a couple of things I want to do here before we hit the fields of awakening. I want to update you. I've been thinking about our order of worship this as we gather each time. And, you know, I think I'm done with just all the soft dismissals. That's just cumbersome. And I think what I want to do is probably move the hymn and actually make it our closing hymn. And in that way, if people want to head out, hit the road before we sing, we'll send you we'll just let you go. We'll release you with grace. And then we'll actually just close out with singing. We'll try that out here for a while. At least we'll try it today. But before that, I wanted to bring an update to you on the Eutychus opportunity. You remember some weeks back, we lifted up the story of Eutychus. That story of that young person sitting up in the third floor windowsill as Paul preached into the late night, and he fell out of the window, fell asleep and went out the window and fell to his death. Of course, Paul revived him and Jesus raised him back into life. But I just began to wonder aloud there with you, is this the story of our young people today? We know they're falling away. That research clearly shows us 40 million young people from the church inside of our families and our homes will walk away from the Christian faith over the next 20 years unless there's some kind of a intervening move. We have felt that calling at Seedbed to sow into that generation, Generation Z, and then Generation Alpha following them. And one of the things we want to do is help them. We want to bring banded discipleship. We think that there's not a need for more information. There's a need for more connection of them to each other. And so we're working on bringing banding into the next generations. And we launched what we call the Eutychus Opportunity. And it's an opportunity to receive $60,000 to help Seedbed design and launch discipleship bands into younger generations. I'll tell you where we are today. I mean, a lot of people heard that call. The Lord said, give, and we've received $35,000. And with gratitude to so many of you for that. And now the Holy Spirit has me kind of wondering two things, and I'm just going to put it out there as I'm wont to do. Number one, is there someone out there who might be hearing an invitation from the Lord to reverse match these gifts in some dimension? And then number two, you know, typically a match is you go out and ask somebody to give you a lot of money, and then you tell everybody, like, okay, if you give, we're matching your gift. Well, we're doing it backwards. If you've been around me any length of time, you know I tend to do things backwards. Maybe upside down is the word, but I don't know. We're trusting the Lord. So that's the reverse match. And number two, are there others who might like to contribute out there still at any level? And you can see the link to that post in today's PS in the email. And then there's also a link in today's email if you'd like to give. Are you ready to sing? We're going to sing one of the great hymns. They're all great, aren't they? Fits right in with what we're talked about today. It's called I Surrender All. It's number 607 in our Seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. 607, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know thy power divine. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Well, time to hit the fields, gang. It's Tuesday. There's tacos out there waiting for us. Let's let it be our reward for another day of sowing for a great awakening. Everywhere you go, everyone you meet, release the extravagance. Just sow the extravagance of the goodness of God. I'll see you on the field. For the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.